You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I picture this as like a theme. It was like one of the songs in your rotation that you listen to on a weekly basis, Bink.
Oh, this is high school football music you listened to before you ran out on the field and smacked somebody around.
Get you amped up. You're pushing each other.
Yeah.
Your teammates. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting fired up.
Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon with you. We'll talk at 11:40. Talk to one of my NFL draft experts, Rob Collins from Fox 4. Sports director of Fox 4. Rob was down in New Orleans.
That's right.
He was down in New Orleans taking in. I'm curious what he thought about there, because I know that he was kicked out a few times. They had to kick him out for his live TV shot. So he's doing it from outside the Superdome.
I didn't realize that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We'll talk to Rob about that. Looking forward to talking to some Rob Collins. The Texas guy, Rob Collins. You know, he'll talk some NASCAR with us.
Yeah, he's a big NASCAR guy. I haven't seen Rob out at the racetrack. I know that because Rob goes to cover it, actually. I go as a fan. There's some amazing perks that we get in the business, and I could get a credential, I'm sure.
100% you could.
But I don't want to. I want to be able to go enjoy the races, go out on the track and just be a fan, stand by the car, see driver intros and everything. I am a fan.
And bring your Mike's Hard Lemonade and your coolers.
Facts. I am a kidding.
I need to get you drinking beer, man. You gotta start drinking beer. You have to, man.
Drank a beer and it's terrible.
Give you a chaw and a beer and send you to the NASCAR track, man. You can't be doing this wine spritzer stuff and things like that.
I'm not doing spritzer stuff. I got the Mike's Hard Lemonade. I got the Angry Orchard all packed into the cooler.
It's not NASCAR drinks, man.
What do you mean?
It's not a NASCAR drink.
There are people
NASCAR fans pound beers. They don't drink wine coolers.
I understand.
And you're a NASCAR guy. Is that what you can do?
A Mike's Hard Lemonade is not a wine cooler.
It kind of is.
An Angry Orchard is not a wine cooler.
It kind of is.
Wine cooler would be like getting a seltzer or like
a seltzer.
I'm not drinking a White Claw at a NASCAR race. Okay, Bink. I'm not doing that.
Carrington used to be all in the seltzers and stuff, but man, he likes beer now. Ever since we did that beer segment, I was shocked that he likes IPAs now.
We are going to do a NASCAR segment.
We were looking at odds.
We are going to do that here in about 10 minutes. We are going to get full on into it because there's nobody at the station who likes NASCAR more than Bink and I. And maybe Kramer. Kramer also indulges in some NASCAR. I'm trying to get him to go out to the race with me in the spring.
Are you really? You go to both of them?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yep.
It's fun. I've been there to cover before. It is fun. Like, especially...
You text me every year asking if I want a credential, and I say no every time.
A lot of the people covering it will be in the infield.
Yeah,
That way they can be there for the injuries and stuff.
By the garage, yeah.
Yeah, and talk to people. But some go to the press box. You can see the whole track that way. I think that's actually the best way, but you got to walk quite a bit and go into the tunnel and do things like that. But I did the pace car lap before the race before Noah.
Oh, that's nice.
Like back, we went around the track in the Camry around
that's
there.
That's awesome.
And at the station, we all went out there for a meeting. We met with Pat Warren, the president of the Speedway, for a while. Right? We all went out there. This is years ago. We all went out there. And afterwards, he let everybody drive their personal cars around the track. So you had everybody's like personal car going around the track. Every single one on their traction control came on. They'd like go to the dealership because the traction control was coming on because of the banking.
It means you just had to go faster. Everybody was going too slow.
You would have loved it.
Oh, I want to really badly. They have the Richard Petty like driving experience.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Richard Petty. I think it's Rusty Wallace now, but they have it at the track. And I would love nothing more than to hop in a stock car, go 165, which I think is the peak speed for those who drive. If you're a passenger, you get to go like 180. But the car peaks at 165, I think.
Did your wife listen to the show? Does she not know you want to do this? your goal? This would be a great gift for you.
She knows that I want to do it. I just don't know if they have it.
They do. They have a driving experience.
Well,
you can
now
go
especially, they
you
do
can
not.
Go do it. In the off-season, you can go do it. You can go do the driving experience.
I would be down in the
not
month
the
of,
snow, but.
Right. I wouldn't want to do it in the snow. In May or June.
It might be actually more fun.
In May or June. I'm trying to get out there.
You can do it, man. This is something you got to do, man. I mean, if she loved you, she'd get you this.
Well,
you got to remember this crap for Valentine's Day. You have to remember. You got to keep score, bro. You got to keep score on things like this. This is something that you've wanted. It's something I've heard you mention several times. Listen, I'm not great at picking up clues, but I did pick up that one.
Mm.
And
thank you, Bing.
I know more about what makes you happy than your wife.
That's not true. You know something that I like, and I appreciate you.
Well, what I don't like these comments that have made the rounds. From the passing game coordinator from the Chiefs. This is on ESPN. Did you see this? I heard this morning they were talking about it, and of course they were making the rounds.
I have not
on
heard
X
this
so yesterday.
Yet.
All right.
Bring it on.
Here's how the story went. When a coach realizes his quarterback could be the greatest of all time, it should be a feeling of pure joy, right? Not in the case of Kansas City Chiefs Patrick Mahomes. Here's the passing game coordinator's comments. Quote, it makes so much more stressful. Chiefs passing game coordinator Joe Blaymeyer told ESPN on Wednesday of Super Bowl week, quote, you feel the burden as a coach and as you're putting a game plan together to not waste his abilities, to not go through a season where you don't give him the opportunity, to not screw it up as the coaching staff. So rather than feeling like this is just unbridled excitement that we could do anything, it's actually more like a terror. Like we cannot be the reason that we screwed this guy up or this team up. What happened?
Mm.
But you don't look at it like a terror. It's a privilege. Well, yeah. That's a joy. To have a quarterback like that, that's a joy. Now, this goes into what I've been saying. You don't screw it up. You give him the weapons that he needs. You don't do things scared. Like, we got to do things to his ability. No, don't do things scared because he'll do what he wants. He'll go out there and he'll have the play that's called, and then he'll have the play that he runs. It's what he does. Wink Martindale said that when he's the Ravens defensive coordinator. He says, well, there's two plays.
Yeah.
The play the Chiefs call, the play the Chiefs run. It's two totally different things. But when you hear that, when you hear those words, what goes through your mind when you hear the passing game coordinator talking about not to screw it up as a coaching staff? Are you playing too tight? Because that would be a case where you're, I mean, listen, those words that you mentioned, that's truthful. And that's probably what people think. Hey, I'm not going to screw this guy up. I'm not going to screw this guy up. This guy's way too talented. Don't screw it up. Mahomes is to that age now, like Manning was, like Rivers got to, where all of a sudden they're a major, I'm sure he's a major part in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
But like 2 minute drills, I let Mahomes call it. That guy's mind is better than an offensive coordinator's. Manning called his own plays. Mahomes can call his own plays. Brady knew what to call. The bottom line is, 2 minutes for a game, he controls everything. He sees the defense, sees the coverage. They were in a lot of cover four in the Super Bowl. You know exactly what you're going against. He called out cover zero in the playoffs all the time when teams are doing. Like, he knows coverages right off the bat, and he knows the switch to play and whatever to do. But to hear things like, it's actually more like a terror. No, more like a terror is when you have Jameis Winston at quarterback.
Zach
not
Wilson.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Zach Wilson, that's a terror. That is a terror, not a Patrick Mahomes.
It is a very weird thing to hear. I don't know. It's weird to hear being brought up because you and I think have been about this for a while now. I've brought it up. I think the guys yesterday kind of misunderstood. I think Alex kind of misunderstood what I was saying yesterday and agreeing with Matt Verderam. But I think he really hit it on the head of the people think that Bink, I understand they had a really bad Super Bowl, and people think that the offensive line was awful this year for the Chiefs, but I think if you look at the metrics, they were top five in the league in pass win rate. And pass block win rate. They were very, very good.
They were. But not only that, but the quick passes helped.
Yeah.
Like getting rid of the football quick, throwing it less than 10 yards. Like that stuff, your quarterback, his mobility did help that. But I agree with you.
They have three all-pro talented guys on the roster, three Pro Bowlers on the offensive line.
Yeah, the interior part of this line, it's hard. Like people talk about the offensive line being crap. The interior part of this offensive line is not crap.
Correct. And, of course, I know that the tackles are sketchy, and it's been a whirlwind of a season, and they're not that great. But they're fifth. They were top five in the league in pass block win rate. And I understand that that's part of game planning as well. But the game plan, Matt brought it up as well, and I know that people don't like when I bring them up. But Matt brought up the Bengals. The Bengals had a bottom seven in the league pass block win rate, and Joe Burrow had MVP numbers. If the Chiefs believe that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league, which I think they do, I think we both believe that, Bink, then they should understand that even amidst a sketchy-ish offensive line, which statistically, metric-wise, they didn't have, they should be letting Mahomes deal it. Because you can't, if you think it's more of a tear, well, we don't want to mess Mahomes up, we don't want to do this, you're not getting the full output of the offense that you could be having. Can you imagine? I understand they went 15-2. I understand that. But they could have easily gone 11-6. I understand that they didn't. I get it. But they needed some help along the way to get there. And they might even if they were putting up numbers. But can you imagine? It would help out the defensive. It would help out the stress, I think, that fans have and the amount of stress that is needed late in games to constantly come up with big plays late in games if you're able to air out a little bit more and trust Mahomes to do his thing. Bing, I can't tell you the amount of times that they had 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3, and they would run the freaking ball on 4th down and short. It made absolutely no sense. When you have the best quarterback in football, you trust him to make the play. You trust him to make the throw. You rely on him to do it. You set up the game plan to help with the lack of ability on the offensive line, but you need to trust your quarterback that you're, 1, paying all that money, 2, is the best quarterback in football, and 3, is your franchise guy, point blank and period, to make the throws. Because we all know, we all think that Patrick Mahomes can make the throws. Let him do that. I think Patrick wants to do that. It feels like they're game planning with a tentativeness or a lack of aggression that is not allowing them to be as good as they can be.
You listen, talent dictates a lot of that. You have to have guys open. You have to have the time to throw. A lot of times, here's the one thing too. Philadelphia did not have the pass rush getting to the quarterback that it's had in previous years, right? When they played them in Super Bowl 57, that was the number one team in the NFL as far as sacks. Chiefs were number 2. Do you know how many sacks the Chiefs had this year, Drew? They had 39. Do you know what the Philadelphia Eagles had? The team that had so much success getting after the quarterback that didn't blitz.
Less it was all than that, I believe, or about the same.
41. They had 41 sacks in the season. They had 6 in the Super Bowl.
A defensive line. Jalen Carter led the team in sacks, Bink. A defensive tackle. Not an edge rusher. Led the team in sacks.
Which I think was a draft steal. And I said teams would hate the fact that they let him go and not pick him because he's looked as the number one pick in the draft. But only 41 sacks in the year. Of course, they didn't blitz. But they got there up front. And they got there not having the blitz, which is like the perfect scenario you need. In 6, they made things very difficult for Mahomes to throw the football. And the whole offensive game plan went out the window. The running game, forget about it.
Yep.
Why Isaiah Pacheco was out there, Kareem Hunt should have been out there, utilized Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt had proven to be the guy. You could see the Chiefs' trust factor through him through the end of the regular season. And when games got tight the second half, they went Kareem Hunt. Because he's good on that 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. And Isaiah Pacheco, I've always said, hey, he runs hard, man. That's his moniker, right? He runs the damn ball hard. But what's wrong with 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1? Can't do it. So even though you run it hard, you can't pick up what you need to pick up, and that's 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1, and they won't run the quarterback sneak.
I just think
I was pissed they didn't have that opportunity to do that in the Super Bowl because I think we would have seen it.
I really think that when you – like you – and not that they're not trusting Mahomes because they do, but when you hear that sort of a comment, Bink, that you brought up, I just feel like there's a lack of aggression, and we see it from Andy Reid all the time, and I understand that you don't want to be the complete opposite where you're the Commanders or you're Brandon Staley and you're going for it, or you're Dan Campbell and you're going for it all the time. But there was a play where they lost. They ran the ball one time and got it to 2nd and 11. They ran the damn ball again, Bink. And it was 3rd and 10. They were in 3rd and long so many times where the way that the Chiefs game plan, and this is where I, from the what I've seemed to gather on this, is Andy is the OC. He calls the plays in the game. But Matt Nagy is a very pivotal part in game planning for them.
Helps the plan during the week. Then when it comes to game day,
people have questioned the last few years, why does Mahomes not look the same? Matt Nagy game plans a little bit differently maybe than Eric Bieniemy does. And I know that it's Andy calling the plays. But in a way, I think, and part of the reason I get it last year because they didn't have the wide receiver talent, but them not drafting wide receiver, this is the, we had this conversation in the middle of the season. If the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl last year, then I think everybody is asking the exact same question or saying the exact same thing as what we did with Aaron Rodgers. Get him some help. Get the man some help. He's the best quarterback in the league. Get the man some help. If they didn't win with Sky Moore, McCole Harmon, and everybody, and the crew that was not that great, MVS, everybody would have been begging the Chiefs to get a wide receiver. Guess what? They did do that. They did some of that. But the game, but game planning wise, the offense still a lot of the time ran through Travis Kelce. And he just wasn't the same in terms of average yards per completion, the yak, all those things. He caught a lot of passes. They had to rely on him because the defense, I think, knew we're just going to prevent him from throwing deep, and we don't think they're creative enough to do anything other than just throw short. And
yeah, they made it work. Safety,
and they made it work, but I think that's where creatively Patrick Mahomes can make those throws where even if you do go too deep, I'm not talking about throwing the ball 50 yards down the field, but design something that gets you a completion where you get a first down on the catch anyways. Like, it's not a yak deal where you're relying on the wide receivers. They did it. They did a good job in Rasheed or Xavier Worthy to get the yak, but trust Mahomes to throw a deep out and place it in the only place that a wide receiver can catch you because he is Patrick Mahomes and he's the best quarterback in the league. Like, I understand that if a guy is in Xavier Worthy's hip pocket, you're hesitant to make the throw, but Patrick Mahomes, if anybody else can, he can do it.
Because good things happen when you throw downfield.
Yeah.
Pass interference happens all the time.
I don't think that they trust, no, not that they don't trust him. I think trust is a bad word, but they don't, they want to make it as easy as possible on Patrick Mahomes, where sometimes being difficult actually brings out the best in the number one quarterback in the league, and it shows off why he's that good anyways.
This guy works out with those receivers in the offseason. That chemistry you build, it's important that they build that. And the one thing it was supposed to open up, remember? Xavier on one side, Hollywood on the other, utilize that speed, then Travis Kelce was going to eat in the middle of the field, right? Well, Rasheed Rice is going to supplant a lot of that. He takes a lot of the hard stuff in the middle of the field. I mean, he does a lot of the same type of things Kelce does for you from the wide receiver position instead of tight end. Sort of, you know, Kelce splits out all the time too. But it's about throwing the ball downfield, getting time, taking chances. I will say this, Zach Taylor of the Bengals, I'll give him credit for this. That defense was crap last year, but that offense did take chances. And they utilized what their best weapon was. And their best weapon is Joe Burrow. And they realized, all right, let's have Burrow be the guy. I mean, they could score at will and score with anybody. And the offensive line wasn't exactly protecting him, but they threw it downfield and they took chances. So what they did. And again, last year,
he made the throws. Patrick Mahomes can make the throws. That's why I bring it up. Patrick Mahomes can make he can make all of the throws.
That Worthy throw was freaking awesome. It was over 60 yards through the air.
Yeah, too bad it took him to be down by 30 in order for him to call the play.
It was garbage time, so who knows, you know, how, you know, if that would have happened earlier in the game. But you got to take the chances to do it because you got thrown off. And here's the thing. You should have taken advantage of the fact you're playing on turf and playing indoors. Patrick Mahomes thrives indoors. He went into that Super Bowl 11-0 in the regular season and postseason in a dome. 26 touchdowns, 3 picks, over 300 yards a game. He dominates indoors. That would have been my game plan. This guy's great inside. Let's utilize the speed and get downfield.
Let your quarterback cook.
Let him cook. Last year, 5 of the 7 draft picks were on offense. They actually went that direction, although the skill positions weren't heavy because we saw linemen picked in there too. The year before, 5 of 7 on defense. The year before that, 8 of 10. On defense as far as their draft pick selections.
Yeah.
To me, it's about loading up the offense because you don't want to be paper thin. You don't want to be one of those Wild West towns, remember, where there's just a facade, there's nothing behind it but 2x4s. You want to have an actual structure. Like, you want to have structure. You don't want, if guys get hurt, what do you do, man?
Mm-hmm.
This year they were in a situation where they had to throw everything out the window.
Yeah.
Once Hollywood Brown went down, it's like, oh, man, now you got a rookie out here. Rashee Rice going to have to be the man, which he proved to be the man. You know, well, Juju had to come back.
Yep.
But all of a sudden you throw the whole game plan out the window because you went to St. Joe, and that was a different-looking throw-the-football-down-the-field team than what you ended up getting.
It was amazing. That was the talk of everything in training camp, and they threw the ball down the field. I don't know how many times, Bink. 20, maybe?
Yeah, but
shots?
But they have to get back to who and what they are. And I think that you and I both agree with that. But also, you don't want to be paper thin either, receiver, do you?
Well, no, of course. And
that's why I want to keep going. I would have taken two last year in the draft if I was the Chiefs. I wouldn't have just counted on one.
You and I both were wide receiver. They needed two of them. But, hey, well, we'll see what they do this year. Meanwhile, Bink, Daytona 500 is on Sunday.
That's right. Daytona 500 Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. I love watching NASCAR this time of year. It's a fun thing to sit around and do. I like watching the PGA Tour, to be honest with you. I like watching that every Sunday. But between that and NASCAR, there's things to do.
The Genesis Invitational this weekend?
There's things to do. So you can look forward to different things if you're a sports fan on what to do. And my suggestion is pick a driver, man. Have fun with it.
Mm.
You know, be in a NASCAR fantasy league. I'm not kidding. That stuff does pass the time away.
I don't know if it's...
I'm such a sicko. I was in a bass fishing fantasy league. I'm not kidding.
Where you picked anglers, next level.
You picked anglers, and you looked at where they're from and looked at where the lakes were. Like, if the guy's from Alabama and the lake's in Alabama, chances are he probably knows where the fish are. You know what I'm saying? So that's where you go with. But you can... The guy's stock would go up and down, like the angler. Like, if he finished well, his stock... So if you had him priced cheap, you were fine throughout the year. But anyway, I digress. But NASCAR fantasy is fun, too. You use a driver like three times, and that's it. I don't know if they still have that
type of league, but it's fun. So they've got with the NASCAR app, there is new versions of Fantasy Live. So they got the generic Fantasy Live where you can join a league and everything like that, or a group. You can use the driver five times throughout the regular season. It resets during the playoffs, of course. And you pick a driver lineup of five. There's a garage driver that you can sub in the middle of it. They also do 36 for 36, which is new. Say you like a Denny Hamlin to win the Daytona 500. I pick Bubba Wallace for this one, actually, in 36 for 36. As soon as you pick one driver, though, you cannot pick them the rest of the season. And the goal is to pick the winner of every single race. And the person with the most points at the end just wins the league. So I like Bubba in this one a lot. Blaney's my guy. Blaine's my favorite driver. I want Bubba to win just to shut everybody up again.
He's plus 1,300, which is second. He's tied for second in odds on FanDuel.
There's some dark horse guys because at restricted play races, it's more of an open field potentially where things should just kind of go nuts, obviously, with the accidents, the big one, and all that other stuff. What are Ryan Preece's odds, Bing? I'm curious because he qualified third on Wednesday. Didn't start on the front row, so his starting spot got shifted because of the duels and stuff.
He's heavy odd, plus 4,400.
That might be a great value pick.
My guy's Michael McDowell at plus 3,700.
That's another good value pick. It's another good one, man.
You just wait around until the end of the race. You never know what can happen. The most frustrating thing is when you see your driver winning all the damn race, and then all of a sudden the final 10 laps, he like falls apart.
Yeah, that is the tough part.
But if you pick a driver, you can have fun with it. Like, pick a couple of them. So that way you're always kind of in the mix. Because if someone, you know, bows out or gets in a wreck and, you know, it's not as fun. But if you pick at least two or three, and then follow them all year. Hell, go out and buy Tide if it's a Tide card.
Lord.
Who knows? But actually, there's a huge correlation between NASCAR fans and the products and the cars.
Oh, 100%, yes.
Big time correlation with that.
My dad used to work at Stanley, the security lock company. They sponsored for the longest time Marcus Ambrose. Yep. They sponsored Casey Kane, Elliott Sadler. So my dad would just root for the guys that, you know, if you work for a company and they're a sponsor on the car, then go for it.
Somebody like all the Jimmy Johnson and Lowe's people that would go for Jimmy.
Home Depot with Tony Stewart. Somebody from the 816, I think, says something that's one of the headlines, actually, of the whole 500. And it's the fact that Junior Motorsports is in the Cup Series. They had to race to get in. Justin Allgaier got in last night. So Junior Motorsports is in the 500 for the first time ever. So for those who love Dale Jr., which there's a ton of them out there, people are excited about that.
Well, Denny Hamlin's a fun one to watch, too. He's never won the Cup, but he wins races all the damn time. Yeah. But he's with Michael Jordan. I saw their NASCAR facility out in Charlotte.
It's a sweet place. Unreal.
Jordan's getting real, real serious about NASCAR.
Bubba's got one of the fastest cars. He's finished second before in the 500. He's been right there. He's a very good restrictor plate racer. Of course, he's won at Talladega. I'd love for him to win the 500. It would shut everybody up who don't care for Bubba Wallace, which I met him when he was here in Kansas Bank in the fall. Couldn't be a nicer dude.
We've had him on the show before, too.
Could be a nicer dude.
Yeah, 100%. He was good. I would probably go McDowell just for, you know, dark McDowell's horse plus 3,300. That's who I would go with.
I'm picking.
Go with the Ford and Michael McDowell.
Fords and the Toyotas have actually been really quick.
And he's sponsored by Love's, and they have very good burritos.
I love Love's.
Very good burritos, by the way. Very underrated for roller food. If you like roller food, bingo.
The Chevys are a little bit slower this year in qualifying and stuff because normally we're used to the Hendrick cars that are up top in qualifying, but they weren't as much. Maybe helps them with the race speed or in terms of the handling of the car. I know Byron was really struggling with his car yesterday, but a lot of guys going to backup cars too. Also, Helio Castroneves is going to be in the 500 as well.
And he got a provisional because he wrecked. So NASCAR's got a new rule where it's kind of silly. It's like great racers get a provision. Yeah. If your name is Helio Castroneves, you automatically get, because he wrecked during qualifying. He wasn't going to qualify.
Yeah, he was in an accident during the duel last night, unfortunately. But I think it'll be interesting to see how he does because they have more practice than really any other race, it seems like. Now with NASCAR, they don't do practice as much as they used to. They have two more practices, so he'll be able to get, you know, used to all that stuff. McDowell also, by the way, Bank, is in the 72. I didn't catch this. He's in the Spire car, 71 car. He's no longer in the Love's car.
He's not. It's Spire now?
Todd Gilliland is in the 34 Love's car now.
Oh, Gilliland's in. Okay.
McDowell joined Spire with Carson Hocevar and
Justin Haley. I had him on, too. And I had Truex on one time, too. He was out fishing during the interview, which made a really fun interview that Truex was.
Truex is back in it, too, for a one-off.
That was my guy. That was my driver.
From the 620.
I went to Bass Pro Shops just because of him. Just kidding. I was there anyway.
From the 620, Alex Cindric at these speedways. That's a good pick. He's won the 500 before. Kind of screwed Blaney out of it, which I didn't care for too much. Neither
Cindric
did Ryan,
is plus 2,400.
I think Cindric's a good pick, though.
Christopher Bell's a plus 1,800 right behind Chase Elliott. I like Christopher Bell a lot in this.
Chase Elliott's going to be one of the favorites as well. He's been very good at restrictor plate races, of course. He
I would
won
go
it
Chase
yet.
Elliott to he win it if you're asking me who to win it. He's plus 1,700.
You think he's going
to
win it?
I'd go Chase to win it because that's who I like. But as far as odds, if we're picking just a dark horse, I'm going McDowell.
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm going with Bubba. I'm rooting for Ryan Blaney. I think a dark horse could be Ryan Preece. You know, Brad Keselowski, who always gets in an accident. It seems like he's a little bit aggressive with the push. But who'd have thought, Bink, we'd be doing NASCAR talk, you know?
Helio's plus 21,000.
I love Helio Castroneves. I don't think he's winning.
Nemechek's plus 12,000.
He isn't a good car,
Jimmy
though,
because Johnson's in this one, too, by the way. Plus 7,500.
Jimmy was quick, too, in the duel. Jimmy was getting up there to the front, so that'd be really interesting for those who love a seven-time. So, but who'd have thought, Bank? NASCAR talk on 96.5 The Fan. I love it.
You know what? It's about fans, right? It's about what people like.
There's
like
a lot more people
track
on the text line. I'm actually taking some pride in this. I'm happy. There's a lot more NASCAR fans, I think, in the text line than we originally would maybe
There's
think.
There's nothing better, man, than getting your beer and just chilling. I mean, this weekend's going to be crap again, isn't it?
If you're listening,
I don't know. I'm the weather. Well, I do like weather. But isn't this weekend going to be like icy and crap like that? I mean, you might as well just sit in, chill, drink some beer, and watch some.
If you haven't been to a NASCAR race, Cody's never been to a NASCAR race before. I was like, Cody, you just got to go once.
It is unreal going to. I always like
experiencing the speed, the noise, the rumble in your chest. There's nothing like
it. It's like going to an NHL game. Like, I always, going to the Mavericks game is fine, but going to the NHL is just different, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's just completely different. The speed, the passing, the shots. It is much different than an NHL game, but I always say go to the game. Like, if you go to an NHL game or you go to a NASCAR race, you see it differently. Like, football to me is a great television sport. It is a great television sport. I think baseball, to be honest with you, is a great radio sport. Football, same way at times, but football can be a great, because of replays and everything else
TV,
that you get.
TV is nice.
Yeah, you get to sit back there and watch it, especially if you want to watch a bunch of games where, like, college games, are the whole day is taken up by going to an 11 a.m. game. You're, you know, going 3-4 hours for the game. Then you get to drive back, whatever that is. So you miss a lot of the games. But NASCAR is definitely going out there and get the garage pass and stuff, because these guys will let you go right in your garage. You can go to the meeting before the race.
It's very fan friendly. Like, you're able to bring your own beer and food and snacks. You can bring it. You don't have to buy the $10, the $20 food. You know, you can bring really whatever you want. Plus, Kansas also has had the best racing, I think, out of any speedway over the last couple of years with the new next gen car.
Oh, so. Kansas has been unreal to go out there. It's a great track.
The closest finish in NASCAR history last spring.
It's a great track. It's fun to go out to. It's a great place to watch a race. No question about it. We'll talk to Rob Collins in the 1 o'clock hour about that, too. Get the Texas guy's opinion on some NASCAR.
I wonder who Rob likes in the race.
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll definitely find out in the 1 o'clock hour who Rob Collins likes. Chiefs Red Half Hour. Is this something I hope you're going to do the whole year? Because I think that the NFL is like the Jelly of the Month Club. It just keeps giving year or all year round. Right? You have the draft. You have a lot of things, right? Is Chiefs Red Half Hour? You still do it, Drew?
Yeah, coming up next.
All right, coming up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
96.5, The Fan, Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon with you. We're pondering a NASCAR podcast.
I don't know, but based on the text line, Bink, I think a lot of people would actually be into it. I am pleasantly surprised at how many people were into that conversation.
Yeah, there was.
I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of
NASCAR fans, especially now with that ugly Super Bowl, man. They're like, wait, hey, turn the page. Mm. You know, I expect the Combine to get a lot of interest because Chris and I on the 435 Podcast Network on Odyssey, 96.5thefan.com, we do our weekly character concerns. It's a draft name after we've been doing it ever since the draft was in Kansas City. We just kept it going for year after year, and we take a look at these guys throughout the college football season, and we give you matchups to watch during the regular season, who might be a Chiefs prospect down the line. We did a hell of a lot of work on wide receivers last year before they took Worthy, and we'll do the same thing again this year, defensive line we'll take a look at. But we do this. It's the podcast available on the 435 Podcast Network. Drew Nixon does a great podcast, 249 miles of football. It's 249 miles between Manhattan and Columbia.
I need to get you and Chris on.
Well, you know where we live.
I don't know where Chris lives. I know that you guys work here.
Well, you know the phone number.
Very true.
We're not hard to find. So I've been on your show before.
Yes, you have.
Several times, I think. Right?
It needs to be more of a common occurrence.
Well,
particularly at this time of the year, where we could see Devin Neal get drafted, DJ Giddens, Luther Burden, you know? I mean, Brady Cook might get drafted later on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the latter part, a lot of other guys. I think Membu from Missouri might be an offensive line, a tackle that's picked in the first round.
He's a right tackle by trade, but he's looking more like interior, where he'll end up a guard. But yes.
His arm length isn't big enough.
That's going to be the top local guy drafted.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
By far. Or Luther. Luther Burden's a freak talent, man. Like, that guy would love for the Kansas City Chiefs, man. I would love Luther Burden with the Chiefs.
A lot of Missouri fans would as well, I think.
They like Nick Bolton, so, you know.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a Missouri connection with the Chiefs.
Hey, Andy Hill's still here. He was down there with Gary Pinkel forever in Columbia. He's been with the Chiefs, what, 5 years now on special teams?
I don't know, but shout out to Gary Pinkel. He recruited one of my good friends in high school to play football in Missouri.
Yeah, Gary did, man.
Brennan Lee.
Oh, College Hall of Famer Gary Pinkel. Winningest coach at both Toledo and Missouri. Legend.
Oh, yeah.
Legend. But there's been so many hot takes, Drew. I've obviously had a lot of time to watch NFL Network. Matter of fact, I fall asleep to NFL Network, to be quite honest with you. And during Super Bowl week, yeah, I do. Yeah, I would have dreams. Yeah, you only remember your dreams if you wake up during REM, right? You got to wake up during that. Because if not, you better write it down. Because if you don't wake up during Rapid Eye Movement, you're not remembering your dream. So I'd write it down, you know, what it was. But I dreamt about Super Bowls a lot. And it was because they were showing highlights. They'd show highlights. So it sits in your mind, right? Like, people will do that. Like, if you hurt your foot, you're probably going to dream about your foot. Or if you put tape on something, you'll remember it. Like, to put tape on your foot, you'll probably dream about your foot. Or, like, injuries, like you break your arm, you'll dream about using your arm. Well, I dreamt about the Super Bowl. And I dreamt about good things happening in the Super Bowl. They clearly didn't. Honestly, it's probably a bad dream at this point. But it looked good. But there's been so many hot takes from people out there. I mean, just hot takes after hot takes. And it's funny. We talked about it earlier as far as the people just counting this team out. And I'll remind people, Tom Brady was 34 years old when he lost his fifth Super Bowl. Tom Brady's record in the first five Super Bowls was 3-2. Patrick Mahomes' record in the first five Super Bowls is 3-2. And I never really subscribed to that. And I talked about it a little bit last week with you, Drew, when we did our pregame. As far as, you know, the whole Mahomes-Brady, you know, comparison. Man, I got to forget about that stuff. I just look at through this time, through seven seasons as a starter, Mahomes has been better. He just has been. Brady didn't win his fourth Super Bowl until he's 37 years old. So things are different. Mahomes got plenty of time to do that. And Steve Young, by the way, built his whole Hall of Fame career through his 30s, because he was a backup to Joe Montana, played in the USFL for a while. But literally, he made the Hall of Fame for what he did in his 30s. Mahomes hadn't even hit his 30s yet. But there's so many hot takes. And if I'm these dudes, I'd get rid of social media, man. I would. Remember Brett Phillips, the East played for the Royals? I don't know if you it wasn't a huge star. You weren't here at the time when Brett Phillips was here.
Recognize the name, but.
Well, he played, and I remember we had these company things, right? Like social media things, do's and don'ts that,
yeah,
you know, the company sends out, and you watch the video. Well, I was sitting in the Royals dugout or before a game. It's when I was doing the Royals pre and post. And I was sitting there, and Brett Phillips comes over. He wanted to watch it because he got picked off a third, and he got a lot of crap on social media. How are you supposed to handle it? So he was curious about, like, how you handle these things because – you would have to imagine, like, if you were Jeremy Guthrie's Twitter account, whenever he went out and had a bad game, he was getting roasted. But no one would say crap when he threw a complete game, right? No one would say crap. But the social media aspect of everything and all the, you know, the punches these guys get for, and there's not any NFL fan around this country that wouldn't die for a quarterback that's had seven seasons as a starter and been to five Super Bowls out of the 7 years. He goes to the Super Bowl at a 71% clip. Yes, he had a bad game. They got rolled. They need to do some work. We all know that. But you can't cry over spilled milk. You got to move on. You got to turn the page. You can't let last season turn into losses to this season. You can't let 24, how it ended, reflect 2025. You know what I would do? Listen, you have certain things you have to do as a pro athlete. Certain interviews you have to do because you have to do – the quarterback has to be present during the week. The coach goes on every other day. I get that. But all the other little extra interviews, you don't have to do. They're all your decision on what you do or not. Now, there's certain guys out there that I would go – like Pat McAfee, I'd go on. Like there's just certain guys that are going to be positive towards things. You'd go on. But a lot of the interviews, these national interviews these guys go on with ESPN, and all, they trash them all year.
Yeah.
Unless you're going with like Alex Smith and Teddy Bruschi and that's it, they're going to like you. But they trash you all year. The hot takes coming out about how bad the Chiefs have been when they don't realize, hey, they've been to five out of the last six Super Bowls. You know, Mahomes has been to five Super Bowls in just 7 years as a starter. They've been to the AFC title game every year Mahomes has been a starter. I don't think that's hardly been mentioned. I mean, a few people bring it up that, oh, he's been – well, they don't really hammer it. But I would take a quarterback to go to seven straight AFC title games. Those were a dream in this town. You just didn't have them. But there's a lot of times I'd say, no, I'm not going to do the interview. If I'm in Chiefs, I keep it really tight this year. It's all about the team. I'd cut out a lot of the extra interviews. Locally, I would do. Because locally, they're not hammering them they are nationally. But a lot of national interviews, I'd take a middle finger. I would stick it up. Can you see my middle fingers, Drew? I'm doing two of them. I would do
careful,
the middle fingers.
Stream.
What's that?
I said, careful, we're on stream today.
Oh, I forgot that. Sorry. You got to remind me sometimes.
It's okay.
I'm on this. But,
I'm sure somebody could have screenshot of that.
I'm not used to this. But anyway, well, we can do whatever we want on the internet.
Yeah.
We can cuss on the internet. I can sit here and cuss, and you can just dump it for the radio, and online they can hear me cuss. Drop some F-bombs?
Let's not do that.
Okay.
Doesn't Andy already do that, though? Because I don't... The only person who is in a regular, like, media setting is Travis, because he does the podcast.
Which is used on the news all the time. It's the only way you really hear from him. He does...
He'll talk to people after games
and stuff like that, but I wouldn't do the interviews, the national interview, because, honestly, I take a long, hard look at the way that they trashed him. Now, some guys don't. You know, like Howie Long never did and stuff like that, never trashed him. But a lot of guys will, and they'll put dirt on your grave, and they're quick to do it. The Hot Take Society is out there, and it's out there strong. You guys have played a lot of the stuff, like Rod Parker and other people. They want to dance on the grave of the Kansas City Chiefs. They like doing it. But I would seriously consider knocking a lot of that crap off. To be honest with you, hey, if you're going to trash me, I'm not going on. Not. And you know what? Just stick the football, go out there, win some games, do your local stuff. Local stuff is fine. Again, you're not going to get hammered on the local stuff because we realize what's going on. Because you watch the Chiefs in this town each and every week. You watch them and you understand a lot of the calls didn't go their way. You understand the frustrations of it, but you understand and you get the vibe of what the Chiefs are. Nationally, they don't. They go by narratives. They go by narratives. Like, for the longest time, people went, oh, this defense sucks. They were saying this when the defense was top five. Oh, the defense. And then finally this year, they kind of realized the defense is good. Last year was a very good defense. People didn't realize it until they got the playoffs. Like, oh, Look at this defense. They're good. They beat the number 2, 3, 6, and 6 scoring offenses in the NFL in the playoffs. They're very good. And by the way, the Chiefs offense, as bad as it was, beat the number 1, 3, and 5 scoring defenses in the NFL throughout the playoffs. They couldn't win on the road, remember? And then they go in and they went on the road. They dispelled the rumors. But a lot of it I would just cut off, Drew. I'll be honest with you. I would.
Well, there's not even a – so somebody mentions from the 816, C.J. Gardner-Johnson's doing it right now as the Eagles have their parade today. Yeah, but there's no – to me, I don't think you can bury the Chiefs right now. There's no reason to bury them because the only way that you bury them – or can, in terms of questioning the dynasty and all this other stuff, in my mind, is if they lose in the wild card round or the divisional round each of the next two seasons, or they miss the playoffs, any of those three things. Because all they've done is make AFC title games. I mean, if the next 2 years, let's say they go AFC title game, AFC title game, and say even let's say they even don't make the Super Bowl in either year. It's still a dynasty because of all the reasons we talked about with the Patriots earlier.
But no one will count that, though. They don't.
Well, of course not.
It's a hot take society. We only care about what just happened. It's just like when you come in here and the Chiefs beat the Broncos. Some of these people say, that's the greatest game ever. You're like, no, that's not the greatest game ever. Montana coming down at the end and winning the game, the greatest game. But people only remember what just happened. That's what we do. Fast food society. You just remember what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, hey, that's what PR staffs are for. Hey, did this guy trash me after the Super Bowl? I'm not going on.
I think they do a good job for the most part of limiting the media availability for everybody involved. And you know, Andy, make sure that it's nip and tuck. You know,
I would only do it the NFL once without fining you, even though who cares? The NFL actually owes the Chiefs because their ratings. Every time the Chiefs are on, people watch in record numbers. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they didn't boycott the Super Bowl either because it was the highest ratings ever. Four of the top five games last year, or television shows, period, were Kansas City Chiefs games. First ever playoff game on Netflix, Kansas City Chiefs. First ever game on Amazon, Kansas City Chiefs. First ever playoff game on Peacock was the Kansas City Chiefs. So, in essence, the NFL actually, to be honest with you, they're not going to pay them any extra, but they probably could, but they use them. They use them. The Chiefs make their rundowns of their shows nationally. You know, now let's just trash them. They've been good. I've seen this happen a lot before, too. Remember Tebow? You know, as good as he was in college, he actually went to a playoff game, but everybody trashed him, right?
Yeah.
He's good, and then they trashed him. Johnny Manziel, same way. He's good, and then we've heard he's good too much, and let's just start trashing him. The Chiefs got to the point where they're good. Let's just go ahead and trash him. That's what people like to do. Like, to build you up, and they like to tear you down. I'd say screw you. If I'm mayor of this town, I have a big middle finger in a crop, like one of those crop pictures for planes. Keep on going.
You want everybody to hate the Chiefs.
This is why I'm not in office.
Except for Kansas City. Huh? Yeah, you want everybody to hate the Chiefs.
Why not? Except they already are. They're the villains. Why not play up to that? You know, be the evil empire. Be Darth Vader.
I don't think you need to do the middle finger stuff, though.
Why not, though? They're basically giving you the middle finger on national media. They are. The national media is trashing this team. They're doing it for ratings. They're doing it for their hot takes. They do it for their shows. They love it. Out in New York, whatever, they trash the Chiefs. If they're going to do that, I wouldn't go on with them. Screw it. Not doing it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the national media needs the Chiefs, though, you know?
Of course they do. Of course they need the Chiefs. It's fun to either watch them or tear them down. People, that's why they watch. You know, everybody's, we're going to boycott the Super Bowl because we're tired of the Chiefs. Bull crap.
You want to
158
see
million people said you didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Highest rated game ever. So you didn't do what you said you'd do because you wanted to watch it. It's like you like watching car wrecks. You like watching what's going on. You love to hate the Chiefs. This is what the Chiefs have capitalized on. People love watching their games, whether they win or lose. And chances are the games are going to come down to the wire. Remember when Mahomes was in the match a few years ago playing golf against Brady and Rodgers? And they were interviewing him in his golf cart.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, I make things a little too close, to paraphrasing, make things close down to the wire. It makes good TV ratings, right? You win at the end. So what they do? They win at the end. But I would seriously consider not doing things.
I think we've got kind of everybody's thought process on this. I don't know if we asked you this the other day. Do you think Travis Kelce is going to retire?
I do.
You do? Okay.
I do. His comments would lead you to think he is. Here's the thing. I understand you don't want to go out on a bad foot. You don't want to go out on a bad note. But there's no guarantees in life. There's no guarantees in football.
Yeah.
And right now he's going to take a lot of cap money for the Chiefs. So sentimentally, you say, oh, you got to sign him. But you got to think business. You got to think business. Which direction are you going to go? Because if you keep doing that and you keep listening to the fans, you'll be sitting with the fans. That's what the quote that's out there. If I listen to the fans, I'll be sitting with the fans. You don't want that to happen. For the Chiefs' sake, it would be best. But here's the thing. For his sake, he can do whatever he wants. He's a Hall of Famer. Obviously, he's going to do what he wants. If you don't want to go out like that, but the thing is, the season's a grind, man. Mm-hmm. And there's no guarantee you're going to be healthy. You got to be 100% in it with your mind or you're going to get hurt. Like, you don't want to finish the season on IR. There's no guarantees you're not going to finish the season on IR if you go out and play it and you're not 100% in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If your mind's not 100% in it, the chances are you could get hurt. And what happens if you end the season on IR? Then you're saying, why did I go through the season? Why did I go through the grind of training camp for all those weeks up in St. Joe? Why did I go do this? Because it is a grind to go out on top, and not many people get that opportunity. I mean, Manning did, Elway did. If you guys get the opportunity to go out on top, go out on top. Don't be like these guys that Jerry Rice like went around everywhere and was a Raider or Bronco and all that. Remember that whole crap he did?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you hated seeing it. Just go out, man. If you're going to go out, go out. The wall hits you fast in the NFL, get out.
Yeah, hearing him, I think you lean more towards that. And I get that, because Travis even said it, I think. Travis said, I mean, I know I can play still, but it's the week five point of the season where you're just like, dude, I don't like this. Like, this is not fun. It's not fun to me anymore because I'm trying to manage my body and all the other stuff. I know I brought up maybe Travis invests more money in his body over the course of the season so that he can just be more, not necessarily durable because he already is very durable and has been, but just in terms of getting his body at peak performance for every single week and making sure that he's good to go. And somebody texted in, you know, he's noted that he's not like a workout warrior. Like Travis isn't in the gym and doing all of that stuff as much as, you know, a lot of other athletes are.
And I know a lot of times people look at the clips from the Super Bowl, he went blocking and...
Well, that's because he was slow. I mean,
he did some good blocks during the season. Like, it wasn't when you wanted it to, but it was during the season.
And also, again, the fact that they put Travis Kelce solo up against Joshua made absolutely no sense. And then he got beat on the outside again by Joshua. It was just a disaster in terms of that game itself, but... I mean, for him to say, like, look, I was not having very much fun. I was exhausted. You know, it's a grind. Like, every single, like, getting ready week in and week out, playing more games than anybody else. You don't know when your body officially is going to be, yeah, man, this is it. Like, he can come back and he can play well for the first 5-6 weeks of the season. And then if it just hits in the middle of a game where it's like, man, I don't know if I got this anymore, then you're stuck paying Travis and you're stuck with him not being ready to go. Somebody says, what if he gronks it, comes out week six? Alex and Cody have said, no, that's not going to happen. I don't think he's going to retire or he's not just going to wait and not be a part of the team and then all of a sudden come out of retirement week eight or whatever.
Here's the thing, too,
guys, I'm back.
Like, he could retire at this point. A lot of people are thinking, all right, what happens if they win? If they won, I'm not sure that he walks off in the sunset either, to be honest. I think he goes back for four. Like, had they won, I think the temptation would have been there to keep it rolling. See how long you can go before the wheels fall off.
I think he would have announced it by now, actually, if they would have won. I think he would have announced it by now.
Well, he's got to, what, March 14th? Or the Chiefs won about a month because they want to be able to plan for the combine and free agency and things like that. And that's what you want to do. I mean, that's a good decision. He's a team guy, so he's going to do what the team wants. But it takes sometimes it takes somebody to get in your head. Like Manning probably didn't want to leave either, but Arch probably got in his head. Like, hey, dude, man. Because they won their last Super Bowl, the Broncos in 15, with their defense. It wasn't Peyton Manning. There was games he missed that year, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of Peyton Manning. Coming up next, though, by the way, we're going to talk NFL draft, but we're going to do it 12-10 now. We're going to do 12-10 now. We're going to talk some NFL draft for sure with the draft expert, because you know what? It's time. It's that season that we do that for sure. But Rob Collins joins us in the 1 o'clock hour for Club 610. But coming up next, what's trending?
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.